We want to welcome you to the Landmark Thrill Baptist Church today. Our church has canceled. I'm doing this online today and hope everybody is safe. It's quite icy out today. We had snow and then we had ice, and then hopefully later this afternoon we'll be thawing out. Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer, asking His blessings upon this day and this service, and for those who are sick in our church, and keep everybody safe. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and the blessings you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at the subject matter, a sign that all is well. There are many people today who are looking for signs. Even in Jesus' day, there were people who came to Jesus and said, "Show us a sign." The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And so God created the heavens and the earth. He created within that earth and all of creation a day and a night and a season. And we have those as signs to us. Jesus even reiterated that in the book of Matthew. When the Pharisees came to Jesus, and the Bible says in Matthew 16:1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, tempting, desired him that he would show him a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, "When is it evening, you say? It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Now, he goes on to talk about the second coming of Jesus. But at first, he says that we as humans, we can look to the sky and we actually can identify what kind of weather is coming, if it's going to be fair or bad, or we can see where the sun is going to be setting. And when the moon is going to be rising. And there's all kinds of signs, astrological signs that people look to the stars to identify some things that are going to happen to them within the week or the month or the year in their life. So what are the signs? What are we looking for? In Mark chapter 13 and verse 32, the Bible says this, "For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect," that is, those that are secure. "But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." In other words, Jesus said, "I've given you everything that I know, everything that you need to know, and there are going to be people coming, and they're going to say and offer all kinds of things to us about." And he goes on to say about where Jesus is, that he's in the desert or he's in the mountain or wherever it is. And people are going to be searching for Jesus. But Jesus said, "I've given you everything that I need to give you. I've prophesied. I've told everything that you need to determine the future of life and me as Jesus Christ." And so I'm going to give you like three signs this morning very quickly. First of all, this morning, the sun came up. And you may ask, well, how in the world did it come up? Some people don't even think about how the sun came up. But how did it come up? Well, it came up because there was a creator that created that wonderful sun that we have that warms our planet very uniquely. It is not too hot. It is not too cold. The temperature is just right for the earth for us to sustain life on it. And he created it with you in mind. I mean, he didn't create you on Mars. He didn't create you on Pluto. He didn't create you into another galaxy in the world. He created you on Earth. Of all the places in the universe, he chose Earth. And within Earth, there is a sun that shines. And that sun is at a distance from the Earth, at the perfect direction where it doesn't burn up or it doesn't make the Earth too cold. Now, today, here in New York, we are a little cold. But the sun's coming up later. We're going to get warmer. It's just a few weeks, and we will be in springtime. But not only is there a sign that the sun came up this morning and all is well, but there's a story given to us in history, and it's not just a story. but is about the Creator's love for His creation. When He created the heavens and the earth in the book of Genesis, at the end of each segment of His day, He said, "It is good." Not only just good, it is great to Him. He was pleased with all of His creation at every single day. He invites for us to look up unto the creation and behold its beauty. And there are many people who at nighttime they look at the stars, during the daytime they look at the sun rising, or they look at the sun setting. I'm not sure if you're one of those people that likes the sun setting or the sun rising, but ever how it comes up, it's a very beautiful thing. And then at night, when it's a full-lit sky and no clouds, you can see the beautiful moon and all of its phases, and you begin to wonder about the great creation. Well, God has invited us as humans to look to this creation. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26, the Bible says this, "Lift up your eyes on high, behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by the number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth." In Psalms 135 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that He did in heaven and earth, in the seas and all the deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of the treasury." In Job chapter 33 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given unto me life." It is amazing that God created all things, and He made us. He invites us to look at His wonderful creation, to enjoy His creation. We can plant a seed and grow a crop. We can pluck a fruit off of His fruit trees. We can enjoy the shade of a big oak tree. We can see and hear the birds that are singing gracefully in the sky. This creation that He created us, He put us in the middle of it. And He breathed into us and we became a living soul. We wasn't just a robot, or we're just not something that comes and goes. We are something that was created for His purpose and His plan for our life. So there's the sign of things that are good because the sun came up. And then there's the story of His love to all of His creation. But then there's the sacrifice that He made just for you. He didn't necessarily give you a gift, go out and buy a gift. He sacrificed something. He gave up something for us. He gave it to us because He loved us. A very familiar passage of Scripture in John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the only begotten Son of God." There's one sure sign that we should take notice of, and that is God has blessed you as a living being to enjoy all of His creation. And He wants you to know today and every day that you live in this wonderful world that He created, that He truly, truly loves you. He has done everything that He knows to do to show you His love and to express to you how great He loves you. He's given you all kinds of love letters and signs in the atmosphere in the world. People have crossed your path and done some great things to you. Last evening, there was a gentleman who came by our church, and he graciously helped this preacher in this church as well, something that you don't know about even today. The message from God is still the same. He invites us. He says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This invitation to come is for everyone. It's not just for a secluded group of people. It's not just for the clean people. It's not just for those that are wealthy. It's not just for those who are in trouble and they need God. It's for everyone who will listen to his word, listen to his invitation, and accept it and come. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The door is open on one side because he's knocking on it. The choice is yours whether or not you invite him into your life or not. The choice is yours whether or not you accept how beautiful and wonderful the day is. The choice is yours. The sign is there that he's there knocking at your door. He's wanting you. He's invited you to come. So the greatest thing that you can do is to open the door, to experience the greatest relationship that you will ever have. And in closing, I'm going to read a very lengthy passage of scripture, Psalms 139. I want you to listen to the words concerning God and his creation for you. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all of my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit or whether I shall flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be the light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought. In the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in the countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. It's amazing if you read those particular verses and know the handiwork of God and the effort that he made to create you, not only creating you, to watch over you, take care of you, sustain you, provide all things from you to you. And no matter where you go in the world, he's there. He's behind you. He's in front of you. He's beside you. He's protecting you. All of our substance is not hidden from him. He knows us by name. He knows the very words in our lips and our mouth. He's paying attention to us. And you could say, this is a sign that all things are well, that he's on the spot. He's watching us. He's caring for us. But in this, if you think about it, it's not just us. It's not just me individually. The writer goes on to say something about the wicked. The Bible says in verse number 19, surely thou will slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they shall speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved at those things, those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. But then he goes and he says this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting. May we live our lives today and every day as if God loves us with all humility, and the fact that he died for us. In the humility of praying this prayer, oh, search me, oh God, and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Make sure that I have no hatred for my fellow man. The Bible tells us a little bit how we should live. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 18, the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then again in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19, the Bible says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Peace begins when we have peace with God. So here's your sign that everything is well. When you have peace with God, you will have peace with mankind. When you have peace with mankind, you will have peace with your entire environment around you. The sun, the moon, the stars, and all of God's creation. And the greatest person you will have peace with, besides God himself, is yourself. And my question to you today is, do you have peace? Is everything well in your soul? And if it is not, then you must go back to the beginning and begin with the Creator, making peace with him. May we pray that prayer, search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. We cannot have peace in this world until we all honestly take a deep look within ourselves to make sure that we're at peace with God. And when we are, we'll have peace with mankind. This is the greatest sign that God is moving upon our country and our world, that we're at peace with one another. And let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for who you are. God, I pray that you would help us to search our own hearts. Dear God, send the Holy Spirit upon us. Allow the evil and the wickedness of our mind and our thoughts and our actions be burned with your holiness. God, may we see your greatness being so great that we fall on our knees and beg for mercy. For we are all sinners, and we all need a Savior to save us. And I thank you for sending your Son to be that sacrifice, to offer the atonement, to give us the opportunity, and to give us the invitation to come. May those who hear this word, may they come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.